You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. On a Friday morning, commentator Gary Borders joins us now to put to rest a troublesome landscaping tradition in the Deep South. Set down the garden shears and back away from that innocent crepe myrtle.
A harbinger of the new year has unhappily but inevitably arrived. As my bride and I were headed to the big box store, we noticed landscape workers busily mutilating crepe myrtles planted in the strip of dirt bordering the fast food restaurants near the store. Perched on stepladders and armed with lops, they happily hacked away at these lovely trees, cutting the past year's growth back. What remained were ungainly torsos. Most people apparently continued to believe that, for this loveliest of southern ornamentals to bloom in summer, they must be pruned in January. Most people are wrong, at least about crepe myrtles. Crepe myrtle mutilation is a southern tradition from Georgia to Georgetown, Florida to Floydada. Google crepe myrtle mutilation and dozens of links arrive, most from conscientious arborists and landscapers who decry this barbaric practice. Crepe myrtles come in various sizes. Folks who want mini myrtles should buy the variety bred to remain modest. Left unchecked, most crepe myrtles over years will become stately trees reaching perhaps 40 feet in height. Their blooms are luscious yet hardy, able to thrive in 100-degree summers with little water. And yes, they can survive an annual mutilation, but the end results are trees with thick trunks and spindly branches. I confess that I am a recovering crepe myrtle mutilator. I lived in Nacogdoches at the time, and as a single man had purchased a modest house. January arrived, and I hacked away at the half-dozen large crepe myrtles in the backyard, as instructed by a couple of buddies who were trying to be helpful. I spent most of a day risking a spinal cord injury perched on a rickety stepladder, snipping off branches. Then I had to haul the branches to the curb. While complaining later that week about my sore back, our gardening columnist, who had printed a popular bumper sticker that said "Stop Crepe Myrtle Mutilation," overheard me. "You don't have to prune crepe myrtles," he said. "You can just let them grow. Pruning them doesn't help them bloom, it just makes them look ugly." I was delighted to discover I had spent my final weekend sweating in January carving up crepe myrtles. The columnist had a convert, and over the past 20 years or so, I probably have convinced perhaps a dozen other kindred souls to stop this insidious practice. Of course, that leaves the vast majority of southern landscapers still whacking away, along with the non-believers and those who just haven't yet learned the news. No pruning is necessary. As for the landscapers, not to be uncharitable, but there isn't a lot of landscaping work to be done in January. The grass isn't growing, leaves have quit falling, and it's too early to plant for spring. Mutilating crepe myrtles provides an excuse to keep hard-working folks on the payroll during those slow months. I appreciate the need to keep money flowing for workers to buy gasoline, etc. I just wish landscapers could think of something else to justify their pay, other than turning tens of thousands of crepe myrtles into ugly stumps until spring arrives. As for the homeowners out there who own crepe myrtles, I hope you hear this before spending hours engaged in a totally unnecessary activity. Just think, you could use that time reading a book. That's my plan.
Gary Borders is an East Texas writer. You can direct all that crepe myrtle fan mail to borders@redriverradio.org. His website is garyborders.com. Morning Edition continues in a moment.